Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with INA. So glad that you have decided to join us today. We are excited about the book Think and Grow Rich, and we're currently still in chapter one, and we are talking about the topic of desire. Desire is so strong and critically important, and it is really kind of that gas that gets the engine going. So I'd like to introduce the guest this morning. We have Tad Jackson on the line, as well as Ms. Shamir. We are also expecting a guest, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about desire. So we'd like to thank you for joining us this morning. And with that, we'll go to a brief commercial.
All right. We'll go to a brief commercial break. Okay, it seems we have some technical difficulties with the commercial right now. Seems it's not going through. So let's just go ahead and get started with, you know, with the recap, because
Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
All right, and we're back. So today, we're still in the chapter of desire, and we really want to dive into desire this morning, really want to go ahead and get started with what it is to really use that desire to achieve your goals. How does desire play a part in achieving your goals? So the recap from last week we basically talked about the struggle. We got real with ourselves. We opened up. We were able to discuss what are some things that are actually holding us back. And in life, we have to really evaluate ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we have these options and these opportunities afforded to us, like being connected to an organization as great as the International Mastermind Association. We have these things connected to us, our jobs, our resources, people we know that we could use in order to succeed. But are we actually putting these things in practice? I know myself personally, I had to evaluate myself and do some inventory recently. You know, I looked at what I had as far as IMA, opportunity and an organization to help me grow, to help me get better with personal development, also to help me achieve my goals and to write them down and all of the things, the vision boards and things like that, to be able to go in and give a good fight. So the whole entire thing that we wanted to do is be able to realize that all of these things that we have in front of us, our families, our support that we have from our families, play a major part in us succeeding. So we have to use these things that are afforded to us. And if those things are there, we have to use those tools. Shawanda, what do you think about that?
Well, thanks, Chad. I completely agree. And we had a conversation earlier in the week, and you were really just stressing about using your tools and having a toolbox to get to where you want to be. So
right.
As you connect with people, as you learn more information, you really have got to put those things into practice. You can meet the right people. You could have an awesome group like the International Mastermind Association, things
right.
like the mid-year conference, as well as the annual conference, which are actual great tools to help you plan and get to where you want to be. But you have to implement those things in your life, Chat.
Exactly. So right now, I mean, let's begin to get into the book a little bit, because that's the main reason why we're here. We come on every Saturday, and we want to help you to understand Napoleon Hill, the Think and Grow Rich, and to really dive in there and to use the things that are afforded to us to kind of understand ourselves, to kind of understand the way that the world works, and to use that to our advantage. And the best way that we can do that is by really understanding what the book is saying to us, and also getting connected to the International Mastermind Association as a whole to really reach out towards everybody there and to get connected by getting the book, also getting the workbook, and coming out to some of the conferences like Shawanda just said. And it's a beautiful thing. Once you have those actual tools, you're going to be able to start putting those things into practice and start seeing results of actual success. And moreover, we want to really capitalize on talking about desire today, because we see that desire is one of those main ingredients for success. And mostly everybody has a goal and a dream. You know, Shawanda, mostly everybody does. And as we have these goals and these dreams, what are one of the main factors to success or failure? I think that is desire. I think desire is that main ingredient. If we have the desire that we need, we will be able to overcome failures with success. No matter say again?
I was going to say that is an absolutely great point, Matt, about desires and success. And on page 37, it says, every adversity brings with it the seed of an equivalent advantage. So we really have to take into account that while things may not have worked out exactly as we wanted to, we may have come across some challenges and adversities, but that is part of the process in pushing you forward toward success and achieving your desire.
Correct. I honestly believe that as well, because as we read into the book, we see that desire, no matter how you slice the pie, desire is a major part of that portion that you're slicing, because desire is in the ingredients. It's a part of the ingredients for success. You can't become successful without being able to tap into that desire, using that desire to fuel you to accomplish those goals. And that's really what the book is outlining. But that's a very important point that you bring up in page 37. So just to get started, the special guest that we have today, we have on the line my wife, Shamir Jackson, and she's coming on to Mastermind with us this morning. And we want you to give her a round of applause. Shamir, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. And could you start off just by telling us a little bit about yourself? Why everybody is going to page 34 and you work and you think and grow rich. Why everybody is going to page 34? We want you to just tell a little bit about yourself, who you are, your maybe a little bit about your job, what you do, the schools you graduated from maybe or affiliated with, and then give us a brief discussion on what your desire is. If you could, please.
Well, again, my name is Shamir Jackson. I am the wife of Mr. Chad Jackson. I am graduate of Royal University, summer 2006, with a degree in psychology. I am currently employed as a social worker for the Early Head Start, Head Start program of Miami-Dade County, where I not only help children to get enrolled into the Early Head Start and Head Start program to be school ready for the kindergarten or public school transition, I more so help parents to become more independent and help them plan out their goals and how to, and provide resources to help them achieve those goals. And in that, I also help them. I also help them with what it is that they need in order to achieve those goals, the steps and the planning that needs to take place in that. And IMA, since I've become involved in IMA, it has helped me tremendously upon receiving this job. I've only been working at this particular agency for a week. Last week was my first week and everything. So, but I was a social worker previously with DCF, dealing with foster care children and the dependency judicial system. However, IMA has helped me with this particular position in helping me to understand not only desire, as we're speaking of this morning, but more so on the planning portion of achieving those of achieving those goals that you have the desire after. And after reading the chapter on desire, it has inspired me even more so to believe and know that, as Chad and Ms. Joanna said, that it is the main ingredient. If you have the desire to do whatever it is that you have set out to do, whatever you feel that you are good at, or not only that, things that you want to see happen in your community or in your life or in someone else's life, you have to set out a plan or some sort of structure. And behind those plans is your desire to do those things, and you have to act in your desire. One of my desires to have my own business doing the same thing, but with more dealing with not only young children and parents, but also throughout life from childhood up into adulthood, because we all need someone to help us, you know, be accountable for not only our actions, but help with that support, to have that support system, to help us achieve those goals and help us to remind us of that desire that we had to once do this or that, so that we can go on ahead and continue to be successful, just as Napoleon Hill says in this book, that you have to act out in that desire. You have to put those actions, those plans into action, not just have the thought, but you have to act it out. You have to walk in place knowing that you're going to do what it is that you set out to do before it's even manifested already at that particular time and moment.
Correct.
So that, my main desire is to one day have my own organization where I can be doing the same thing that I'm doing now, but more so helping people understand that if you have the desire, it can be accomplished. All you have to do is believe in yourself and put the work and the action into play.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. I believe in that. I believe that is true, because you definitely have to go from theory to practice, and that's what we want to talk about today with desire. So let's go to the book, and in the book, page 34 of the book, if you're there already, and it speaks about Charles Dickinson and what Charles Dickinson had to go through with the tragedies he had in life and how he was able to prevail and become a great writer, and how that particular accomplishment spawned off to being something that inspired David Copperfield. And then it goes down to speaking about Helen Keller in the next paragraph, how she had to overcome being deaf and blind. You know, that's a very big thing. And I was wondering if Shamir, if you could, I know you have your book in front of you, if you could read that portion of the book where it talks about Helen Keller, that particular paragraph.
No problem. Helen Keller became deaf and blind shortly after birth and for years could not speak. Despite her misfortune, she wrote her name indelibly in the pages of the great. Her entire life served as evidence that no one ever is defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality.
And I think that's very powerful. What are your thoughts on that, Shawanda?
You know, it's really interesting. I was looking at that same paragraph in regards to Helen Keller, and I think that last statement is absolutely critical. It is evidence that no one is ever defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality. And so going back to the concept of desire, when you desire a thing so strongly, you can move through defeats. And,
yeah.
You know, as we go through life, we certainly have those challenges, and at times we can feel defeated. But that is one of the great things about IMA and the International Mastermind Association, and having a mastermind group is that,
right.
You know, when you're going through those challenges, when you're going, you know, on those uphill battles, one, you have people that support you, and two, you have people that are holding you accountable, and they
right.
help you to reshape that defeat. It's just maybe a temporary setback, but
yeah.
in the end, still moving you forward towards success. And that's what I think, Chad.
Wow, that's a good statement. And Shamir, let's get your thoughts on that particular subject too. That same paragraph.
Well, that right there is it really says it all as far as when it comes to defeat. And if that's with anything, if you say you are, then so you are, so you shall be, and. You have to watch. That's why we have to be careful of the things that we speak into our lives and that we, you know, we hold ourselves up against and everything. Because when you have that desire to be successful, when you have that desire to do those things, just like in school, if you have a desire to make a good grade, like I tell my kids all of the time, if you see yourself making an A, and you tell yourself every day, I'm going to make an A, and you go into school, you go into class with that burning desire to do the best that you can possibly do in that class or on that test or whatever assignment it is, then guess what? The end result is that you're going to make that good grade. You're going to achieve that goal that you had set out. And that goes with everything, even the negative, unfortunately. If you set yourself up and keep telling yourself, oh, this is impossible, or keep speaking negatively about the situation, then so it shall be. Your result is going to be negative because you're going to act out in the way that you're thinking and that you're feeling. You're not going to effectively function in a positive direction. So that last line just as well, that no one ever is defeated until defeat has been accepted as a reality, is so true, and I try to stand by it. Even before I knew about this book, I didn't realize that I was actually working on that, using that as a tool to help me to achieve my goals, as well as speaking, you know, positivity and good life into others. But yeah, my thoughts on that is I piggyback on Shawanda just as well.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So we just want to keep going in the book right now, because I feel that as we continue to talk about desire, we begin to open up a page in our lives where we see that desire, we can suppress that desire if we're not actually working towards what we say we want. You know, it kind of brings up step number two in the process of the six steps to riches, when it speaks about what is it that you are willing to give for that amount or that thing that you say that you want, that declaration that you made. And I think it's very important to realize, what is it going to take to make it there? And sometimes that means holding yourself accountable. That means making sure that you have the tools in front of you and the resources available to grow, to make it where you need to go. And these things are very important, that we stay on top of these, that we do the follow-ups, that we go back, and that we make sure we have a support group. And that's why I think it's very important to get connected with an organization like the International Mastermind that focuses on these things in these different areas of our life, because it's important that we have the balance and that we achieve the riches and wealth that we want, along with the health and everything that comes along with being an international mastermind. So we're gonna go ahead and continue to read in the book, if that's okay. And okay. We're just gonna have Shamir go ahead and continue to read at Booker T. Washington.
Okay. Booker T. Washington was born in slavery, handicapped by race and color and the society in which he lived. Because he was tolerant, had an open mind at all times and on all subjects, and was a dreamer, he left his imprint for good on an entire nation.
You can continue. Just continue to read for us.
Well, I'd like to add something, Chapman and
okay.
Shamir, before we move forward and just kind of
okay.
going back to the Helen Keller piece and desire of, you know, and hearing the discussion this morning, it really made me think about something to the sense of I felt like on average I had a good week last week. That I did not get to do as much as I would like to do from a perspective of kind of masterminding. And so I want to bring that up to the audience, something, you know, to think about, maybe discuss later, is that you could be in a good place in your life and doing well. And I'm sure Helen Keller, even though she accomplished a lot, as well as Booker T. Washington, that they accomplished a lot and more probably than they ever thought. But once you become aware of Think and Grow Rich and the principles of masterminding, it really helps to kind of push you forward in life. And I know there's a book called Good is the Enemy of Great or something like that. So I just want to remind people, you can be in a good place and doing well, but there's always better. And I think both of these folks, especially Booker T. Washington being born a slave, shows you that you can certainly go far beyond what you ever imagined. And I'll give it back to Shamir to keep reading. Thank you.
Shamir, before you go on with the reading, we just want to pause for a quick commercial break. And then once we come back, we'll come back with more reading passages from the chapter and of desire, and more discussion on what it actually takes to have that desire. And we're also going to poll the questions to the audience and try to see if we can get our caller to call in, our special guest as well. We'll be right back right after this commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
All right, and we're back, and we were discussing the part in the book where, you know, after Helen Keller, and we're getting ready to go into what happened with Booker T. Washington, and what we're actually discussing is what people went through as opposed to their opposition and the steps that they made to continue past that opposition. Like last week, we talked about Thomas Edison. He had over 10,000 failures, but was able to succeed with doing what he had to do as far as becoming that innovator and that inventor that he was. So we see that you can overcome your circumstances, but you really have to let that desire that's way down in you push out to where it becomes a plant and begins to grow. But the only way we can do that is by being real with ourselves, where we are in this particular time, where we are in this situation, and allowing ourselves to grow from the truth. So we're going to go ahead and continue to read. And Shamir, if you're still there, continue with the Booker T. Washington, please.
Okay, I'll go ahead and read that paragraph once again. Booker T. Washington was born in slavery. Race and color in the society in which he lived. because he was tolerant, had an open mind at all times and on all subjects, and was a dreamer, he left his imprint for good on an entire nation. Beethoven was deaf, Milton was blind, but their names wouldn't last as long as civilization endures because they dreamed and translated their dreams into organized thought.
Yeah. So, and these are some of the people, like I like to call the Hall of Fame of Dreamers. And they actually come out with their dreams, and their dreams, even though it was hard or it seemed impossible, they were able to overcome. Even though it was different, it was new at the time, they were able to process all of the information, all of the hurt, all of the pain, all of the trials and tribulations that they had to go through, and obstacles and adversities that they had to overcome. They was able to go through all of that and make it up and make it to the point where they could actually achieve success and be successful. So as we continue on in the book, could you just read that next paragraph for us, and then we want to stop, and I want to get ask a question to Shawana and yourself and to the rest of the audience.
Before passing to the next chapter, resolve yourself to kindle in your mind the fire of hope, faith, courage, and tolerance. Once you have these states of mind and a working knowledge of the principles described in this book, all else that you need will come to you when you are ready for it.
That's okay. And that part right there.
Jen, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but the next paragraph was really, really a go-getter for me. So if you don't mind, I agree.
Okay, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
There is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. You are never ready for a thing until you believe you can acquire it. The state of mind must be belief, not mere hope or wish. Open-mindedness is essential for belief. Closed minds do not inspire faith, courage, and belief. And I just, and that part, that paragraph right there just went, after reading it, I read it, I had to read it a couple of times. It became a part, it had to inwardly digest that paragraph after reading it, because it's one thing to wish, oh, I wish I can have this job, or I wish I can achieve these goals. No, you can achieve these goals when you are ready to do it, and you are ready when you have that burning desire to have nothing keep you from doing it, when failure cancels out completely and totally in your mind and in your spirit.
Wow, that is really good. And, Shamir, I'd just like to add a little something here. Just because it is hitting me so strong this morning, I have two younger sisters, and my youngest sister was interested in going to graduate school, and she had looked at a couple of different schools, and she had three of them on the table. And she was really trying to consider, you know, where do I want to go? And we had a conversation with her. And I just said, you know what? I said, Jamie, you know, set your heart on where it is that you want to go. You know, really put that energy out there and commit to it. And I was saying, in about a month's time, she got a phone call, and basically she interviewed for a position at one of the schools. And she now has a graduate assistantship at the school. Her tuition is paid for. And, you know, I think that the big thing that made the difference was that, you know, she desired to be at that school. And as, you know, her actions matched up with those thoughts, then the things began to come to her. And I think it's really a celebration of the principles of Think and Grow Rich, of that, you set your mind, and I think before she was just kind of wishing for it, but then once she set her heart, she became ready to receive it and certainly acquired it, and it's a great celebration for our family. So I wanted to share that with everybody.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. And that's exactly what Napoleon Hill was speaking about in the book, and really setting your mind to it and setting your heart to it, because we know in life we're going to have some obstacles. You know, you're not going to have all the support that you need from your family and friends. You're not going to have all of the necessary resources available to you at that particular time. And in spite of lack of opportunity and those type of things, what do we do? Do we give up in the face of those type of adversities, or do we stare them in the face and say, you know, I still want to accomplish greatness. I still want to do big things. I still want to be able to have these successes and achieve these goals. And the only way that we're going to do that is by taking those situations as a means to get better, as a means to learn how to do it a different way. And I think that a lot of the times we can allow life to distinguish our fire, and that's why I really want to focus on that the paragraph right before when it says you have to make it, resolve that issue in your own mind, that you have to kindle that fire of hope, because that fire of hope is what continues to have you to keep going. There's a saying that says keep hope alive. The reason why you have to keep hope alive is because if you don't hope for it, you're no longer going to desire that thing. If you don't think it's achievable, like they said with Helen Keller, you are already accepting that defeat. So we can't accept defeat. We have to realize that if we keep trying at it, we're going to be successful. So that means, yeah, we're going to fall, or yeah, we're going to make mistakes, or yeah, we're not going to achieve it the first time up. But not many people do. After reading this book, we see that all of the great minds, all of the great people that came before us that set so many standards, that set so many records, those people had to go through adversity, and it was the adversity itself that became the journey or the process that made them better. And I think that's very important that we kind of drive that home, because they had to hold on to what they desire. And a lot of times in life, we can allow the situation or what we're looking at to kind of squish or distinguish that, but we have to hold fast to that and to be ready to go at it regardless of the opportunity being there or the resources being available, but seeking those things and making them work for us, not sitting on them too when we get them, because a lot of times, like we were saying earlier, we got to go from theory to practice. We get the tools. We are part of an IMA group. Are we actually masterminding? We become a member, but are we actually coming to the conferences? We get our affirmations, and we got our workbooks, and our workbooks are very helpful and stuff like that. We get our workbooks, but do we actually get into them? Do we read them? Do we brush up on those things that we need to brush up on, or do we just chalk it up to not having time? So those are the type of things that we really need to be real with ourselves in those areas, and then face that and then try to grow from that, because that may be the very thing that's holding us back. So we just want to continue on in the book, unless somebody has a comment.
I have another comment, and I need to tell the whole story, and I appreciate you reinforcing the adversity part, and that this happened on the backside of, she had a summer internship, and they were just really requiring a lot of the folks there. They were working, you know, more than 40 hours, and just it was a very stressful situation, and they even made comments about her, you know, because she was dedicated to going to Bible study on Wednesday night and, you know, spending time with her family, and they were just, you know, giving some really negative comments, and it was just not the type of environment that she wanted to be in. And so she was definitely facing that adversity and facing that challenge. But coming out of that challenge was such a blessing because, like I said, you know, she just really set her heart on where she wanted to be. And I just wanted to encourage those out there that are considering Think and Grow Rich, that are considering Mastermind, you know, when you're in those periods of challenge and adversity, you know, really looking in the direction that you want to go is going to be so beneficial. We all have those challenging times. And, you know, you may not have someone to talk to. And if you don't, you know, finding those resources and finding those tools that kind of keep you going and moving along the way are absolutely wonderful. It's the small things that get you through at different times. And I'll give it back to Chad if he wants to go to commercial or not, but I do want to let him know that our other guest is on the line. And so since we're talking about challenges and desire, when we come back and after being in the book, I'd like to introduce Pam Cook.
Okay, awesome, awesome. I see Ms. Cook is on the line now. I'm going to unmute her mic in just 1 second. But the thing is, like you were just saying right there, I just want to comment back on that. We are a group, me and Shawana, Michael Baptiste, who actually made it over to China and is over there right now, and we are trying to work out the kinks on masterminding internationally right now. But we're also looking for members of our group. So if you're looking for a group, you think about getting started, you know, it's a great place right here. We're good people. You hear us on the radio every Saturday morning. So if you get a chance, you know, you think about hooking up with us, please go to the International Mastermind Association page, send a shout-out on the page, and we'll definitely get back with you. And anybody else, you know, if you're thinking about it, you might not want to hook up with our group, but just connect with the organization as a whole, because it gives you that extra edge that you need in order to become better. So we just wanted to say that. And we do see that we have her, Miss, what do you say, Miss Cook? Ms. Cook on the line. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break and tell you a little bit more about the International Mastermind Association, and then come back to talk to Ms. Cook, Ms. Pam Cook, and see what she has to say after a passage from the book. We want to read that poem real quick before it's going to introduce Ms. Cook for today.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Alrighty. So, picking up on page 35 in the book of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, I really, really, really enjoyed this poem because it paints such a vivid picture. So, it starts with, "Remember, no more effort is required to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity, than is required to accept misery and poverty." Jesse B. Rittenhouse has correctly stated this universal truth through the lines in his poem, My Wage.
Wow.
"I bargained with vice for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is just employer. He gives you what you ask. But once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I work for a menial's hire, only to learn, dismayed, that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid." Man, those are some powerful words. Chat, you want to comment?
Those are. Yeah, well, I just wanted to bring that poem out to us so we can have something to hold on to throughout the week, something that we can look back to and be able to realize what we covered this week, because this poem actually encompasses what we covered so far about making the 6 steps to riches, making that definite choice to continue to grow, making that choice and that decision to go with your desires, to put into action those things that you need to put into action in order to achieve your goals. And sometimes, you know, we talked about the struggle last week, when we talked about 4 to 5 steps, and this week I think the underlining topic could be like fertile steps that point towards our maturity, that point towards our growth, that point towards us actually getting better at those things that we say we want to do, those goals, those hobbies, those dreams, and advancing towards those. So we do have Ms. Cook's line open right now, And if you want to do your introduction or you want to bring her out, you go right ahead. We have her on the line.
Good morning, Pam Cook. How are you?
Very well. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this morning. So Pam and Cook and I connected in Alabama, Birmingham, and we, again, were having a conversation this week and talking about something that is a desire of hers. And so being in this chapter over the last month, I thought it would be great to have a conversation about that with someone who is actively kind of in this process of having a burning desire and wanting to move from desire into the reality of the finished product. So, Pam, I'll let you just give a little brief introduction about yourself.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And congratulations to what you all are doing with the blog radio and just helping people fortify their desires and dreams and having such a great conversation about it. What I am trying to do, I was given more or less a vision some years ago about doing something and it's starting a business. And currently I work in media and broadcasting. And what I've learned is the experiences from this particular industry has been preparing me to step out into the desire that's been put in my heart to start my own business. And in that, you know, I've been hit with some various challenges along the way because no one said you'd realize your dream overnight. It is a journey and it is a process.
True.
And you do, I'm sorry.
I was saying true, yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a journey. And, you know, you have to slow down and appreciate the journey and not be in such a hurry to get to the finish line. I'm in a position right now where I'm learning about or having to engage more about intellectual property and how that's going to enable me to get to my finish line and what I'm trying to do. So in speaking to Shawana about that, you know, it's opening a door and an opportunity to connect with someone who can offer advice and how to do those things and how to maneuver through that so as you grow your product or your services, you don't get hit with a lot of legal matters on the back end. So many times as we have dreams and desires and such, we're told don't share your dreams, don't keep it to yourself because people would tear you down. I believe you have to be selective in who you share your dreams and desires with. Because it is that very conversation that can open the door to help you get to the next place in your journey. You know, your dreams can't be realized and your goals can't manifest unless there's some sort of a shift. You have to take a step some way. You have to move. You have to create some action in order for there to be some result or for there to be some movement towards that finish line goal. I'm a big believer in see the end result and work your way backward, you know, and I've even written it down. I saw the vision. I've written down where I want to see this business be, you know. I'll say that I was making myself dream really, really big on it. And so in working backwards, you know, and just connecting with the right people and connecting with everything along the way has been a very critical point. And I hope that makes sense.
That was absolutely great, Pam. And hearing you say all of that and just going back to page 28 of the book, you are actually going through the process of the six steps. Let me just read it. It says, the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent consists of six definite practical actions. Okay, so let's talk about those. The first one is fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. It's not sufficient merely to say I want plenty of money, but to be definite about the amount that you desire. So I would challenge you to say, have you fixed a particular amount? I know that you have an idea, but do you have an exact amount?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. The second step is determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. I know you've worked through that. The third, establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. Fourth, you've talked about creating a definite plan and to carry out your desire and begin at once. And kind of based on the conversation that we had this week about connecting you with some other folks to get those questions answered about the intellectual property, you're definitely working through a plan. And then the fifth step is write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you intend to acquire. Name the time limit for its acquisition, state what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. And so it sounds like you've taken several of those steps, and I would ask you this one, which is the sixth and final step if you're doing it, read your written statement aloud twice daily, once before retiring at night and once after rising in the morning. As you read, see and feel and believe yourself already in possession of the money. So, are you doing the six steps as well?
Well, pretty much, as I said, you know, my current career position is preparing me for, you know, my own thing. And in my current position, I'm a big fan of goals and dreams and planning. So I manage a group of people, so what I try to encourage them to do is always write down your goals, print out what you're working for. If you're working to buy a new house, go online, find a picture of the beautiful home that you want, print it out, and put it in your cubicle next to your computer so you see it every day. If you want to make a certain amount of money this year, write that amount of money down, put it in your cubicle wall so you see it every day. You have to continually remind yourself what you're working for. Each December, I set goals for the following year. So I have a goal plan that's on my board in my office, and that same plan is actually on my refrigerator right now. And it, this is part of it. You know, it's a cumulative set of things, you know, professionally, personally, spiritually, but all of that is on there. So, yes, I do see and speak this every day because you have to have something to focus on or you're just wandering aimlessly through life, and that's existing. How dare we just exist in life when we can live, you know? So I'm choosing to live, and having this plan outlined for me helps me stay focused and stay on track.
Wow, Pam, you have said some amazing things. You've triggered at least two or three other thoughts, so I'll go through those quickly so I don't forget. We have a friend named Eric who's very active on Facebook, and I remember Eric posted in the last month, without having a plan, it's like moving forward in life, but you're moving so in the dark. So you can, you know, be moving forward, but without that plan, you know, where are you going?
Right.
And what was the other one? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. It'll come back to me. But I'll give Chad a chance to respond to some of those things that you've put out there.
Yeah, I would definitely love to, because I think one of the main things that's very important, as she pointed out, is to continue to have those things in front of you, not just have them in front of you when you create it that day. Not only just create your affirmation and never go back and look at it, listen to it, or read it. Don't just create your vision board and never take time to admire or look at what you put on your vision board. Those type of things are very important. Don't, you know, we have to make sure that if we have these tools, we use them. We have the ingredients. What good is it to have ingredients and not use them? What good is it to use the ingredients and not cook the food? You know, ingredients, that's waste. You know, you can't taste the ingredients if they're not in there, and you can't eat the ingredients if it's not cooked and properly into the food. And that's where desire fits. It has to be properly cooked into the equivalent of the and into the situation. It has to be properly put into your desire. You have to use your desire to push you forward. And a lot of times that means going the extra mile, making sure we put those things in front of us, like our vision, making sure we plan, like she said, that's a part of what she does by nature. She likes to plan. And that's definitely a part of what we do at IMA as International Masterminds. We map out, we plan. We even plan against and around failures. So we have to make sure we that planning is a part of the process as well. And it's very important that, you know, we mention those type of things. But if very quickly, if we can go to one more commercial break, and we want to get Shamir comments to come, you know, Shamir to come back on and comment as well, to stick around with us for a little while longer, and to try to go back and forth and see, you know, some things that we can discover together as a group from this type of situation. So we're going to go ahead to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
All right, and we're back. And we just want to let the callers know that if you call in, just press 1 and we'll get right to you. But we do have a couple of hands up right now. So just real quick before we go back to the conversation between Ms. Cook and Ms. Jackson, Ms. Singleton, and myself, we're going to go ahead and take one of the callers. Caller in the last digits of 0184. 0184, we're trying to open your mic right now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Stronger and Better Lives. And I just wanted to call in and, first of all, just give kudos to everybody. It's a wonderful show, Shawana, Shamir, and Chad. And, Pam, I have a question for you. Are you still on the radio with us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Yes, thank you. My question is, are you currently a part of a mastermind group?
Not currently, no. Shawana just introduced it to me this week, and it's a fascinating association, if I may say so myself. So it is something I could be very interested in. I believe you have to connect. We definitely have to connect with like-minded souls in order to move forward in your journey. Because if you don't, you can get bored and discouraged and discontent with that desire in your heart, and it'll die if you're not connected with people who can share your dreams, who can encourage you and motivate you and hold you accountable.
Well, you're glad you said the last part, because that was my second question for you, and that is, who is holding you accountable for your dreams that you said that you're sharing with us on the radio today?
I have been very fortunate. I have a lot of friends here in Birmingham who are entrepreneurs. I have a dear friend who is a successful makeup artist. I have a friend who owns a hair salon and has written some books about hair and is doing seminars about hair all over the country. I have some friends who are in the entertainment business who have gone on and done some fabulous things and festivals all over the country, and they hold me accountable all the time. Shawana holds me accountable. I've known her for years. So I've been blessed in that regard, because the people who are aware of what I want to do and what I'm trying to do have been nothing but supportive and will offer resources and help in any kind of way. It's been a real blessing for me. That's how I know it's supposed to be, because if it wasn't, these people wouldn't be coming into my life.
Well, I would totally agree with everything you're saying, and just wanted to just also ask, I just returned a couple of weeks ago from the Black Journalist Conference in Orlando. By any chance, were you there?
Not this year. I had a chance to attend the one in San Diego. And actually, some good friends of mine were at the one in Orlando, and everybody was speaking so highly of it and said it was probably one of the best ones in many, many years. So good. I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. And one of the reasons I asked the question was because they did have a session on going from your job to your dream to your vision to entrepreneurship.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So you may want to go, yes, you may want to go online. I'm sure the program is still online and find out who was a part of that, and they may be able to access some resources for you since the organization as a whole is looking at doing exactly what you're doing, because many of the members, whether they're on radio, TV, journalists, or whatever, but members of the organization are reaching that age of retirement or enlightenment, if you will, without the age, where they're saying, you know what, I can be an entrepreneur, regardless of what type of entrepreneur. I have dreams and visions. How do I go from this 8 to 5 to achieving my life dreams and life goals? But I just wanted to just share with all of you, it's been great listening, so I was trying desperately not to say very much during the show, but I did want to come on and encourage you and welcome you to our family if you so choose to become a part. So thank you, Shawana, Chad, and Shamir. I'm going to go back on mute. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments and your concerns. So what we were discussing, and we only have a few minutes left, and we really want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to say a couple of words at the end, but we were discussing the chapter number one, desire, and we already on previous shows went over the 6 steps to riches. We are actually moving past page 34 and 35 and 36 rather rapidly. And we were discussing the poem and discussing also what it takes to make it through certain situations and using that desire to put you right where you need to be, position you in the place for success, and how it fits as an ingredient and as a tool in our work box so that we are able to achieve those goals. So we're going to ask Shawana first to go ahead and give us some comments, some last words, and we're going to allow our guests to have some last words after you.
Wonderful. That's very nice, Chad. Again, and thank you, Anne. It's been a pleasure doing the show and just talking to everyone, and it's so amazing how the concepts from the book are really reinforced while we're doing the show. But Pam said a key piece, and I hope we get to talk about it next week, is about having a vision board. So you translate those things that's your desire to something that you are physically looking at on a regular. And just to keep that in front of you so that, you know, that desire becomes real and more real to you. And I like the way that you're doing that. And, I think I'm just getting a little overwhelmed. So with that, I'm just going to take a few minutes to talk because it's so exciting and it's so rewarding. And this piece, too, I want to add is that in dealing with the International Mastermind Association, we focus on so many different areas of your life. So it's not success in one area or another. It is about having whole life success. And with that, I will let Pam give her comment.
Well, thank you again for allowing me to call in this morning and share and listen and receive all of this great energy that you all share. And thank you again to the caller. Your feedback is phenomenal. It's calls like that that will keep this program going. So thank you for calling in. Thank you for not being on mute and saying, I've got something to say, because it means a lot, you know, to a lot of people. I just encourage everybody to just live, stop existing, and really live. Go get in a quiet space and really allow your spirit to just reveal itself to you and let that dream and that desire just really bubble up, because everybody's got one. Everybody has something they want to do, however great or small. It can be as simple as redecorating your bathroom to becoming the next president of the United States, or opening a construction company that will do business all over the world. Whatever it is, you have it, and you owe it to yourself to manifest it, to let it come out, because somebody's watching all of us. Somebody younger than us is coming up behind us. And if we don't step out and start living our dreams, key word here is live, then what's there to motivate them to do something? you know, we see so much going on, and everybody's looking at kids coming behind us and calling them the I, me generation, and they're the generation of entitlement, and they don't want to work, and they don't want to do anything. Well, guess what? Here's where we rewrite the script. We get to show them, well, you don't have to work for somebody. You can work for yourself.
And,
yes, ma'am.
Right,
and that's,
right.
That's a great place to kind of end the show. I think we have just a few seconds here.
Yeah.
But we encourage everyone to certainly to go out and build a life, live a life, and enjoy the life that you have. We only have this one. And thank you so much for listening to the show.
Definitely. Definitely. We'll see you next week, everybody. We'll talk more a little bit about frequent steps on next week. See you next week.